Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. I'm your host, Ted Odorico, and tonight we're going to cover women in golf. And in order to do that effectively, I have gathered four seasoned professionals to join me this evening. But first, let me just make a couple of quick points. I know that my guests this evening are on a little bit of a time restraint, so I won't take too much time up front. But if those of you that are listening to the program, they're tuning in live and want to call into the program and speak to the guests at any point, the number to call is 646-716-4667, or you can email me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com, or you can follow Golf Talk Live on facebook.com/golftalkliveblog, and the website is up now, www.golftalkliveblog.com, so you can go there and get some information on the program as well. As I said, I've got four seasoned professionals joining me this evening, and so let me introduce them. First off, a returning guest who is actually my very first guest on Golf Talk Live, Nicole Weller. And as you remember, she was the head teaching professional at the Lanning's Club in Savannah, Georgia. And joining her will be Nancy Henderson, president of the LPGA Foundation and executive director of the LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals. And also joining her will be Carol Preisinger, director of instruction at Kiawa Island Club in Kiawa, South Carolina. And rounding out the quartet, of course, is Nancy Corsolino, founder of the Corsolino School of Golf in Kings Creek Golf Club, Spring Hill, Tennessee. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I'm very excited to have the four of you on here. And as I was explaining to you off the air, I'll just very quickly make a couple of points, and then we'll go through the program. I really am a big proponent of women in golf and always been a big supporter. And as I said, even though it was not meant as a joke, I have my mother to thank for that. My mother was obviously a very important person in my life and obviously still is. And she has always been there when I've needed her and has always taught me from a very early age that the very important roles that women play in society and sometimes are often underappreciated. And I sort of made a pact with myself and her that if I ever had the opportunity to do my part, whether it be through this broadcast or elsewhere, that I would always be a big supporter of women in whatever they do. So this is one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the program. And as I mentioned to you off air, because we have two Nancys on the program, I'm going to refer to Nancy Henderson, obviously, as Nancy H, and Nancy Corsolino as Nancy Q for the program, just so we can keep the names straight. Nancy H, I'm going to start with you, obviously, as president of the LPGA Foundation. Before I ask you to just tell a little bit about the foundation, just a couple things I wanted to read. By the way, the website for the foundation is lpgafoundation.org for any of you that want to visit the website and sort of get some information. I just wanted to quickly read a couple of things directly from the website. First off is the welcome message to the foundation. That's the LPGA Foundation supports women and young people through programs and initiatives aimed at empowering them through the game of golf since its founding. The LPGA Foundation has touched more than 100,000 lives through various scholarship and financial assistance programs, along with its flagship junior golf program, the LPGA-USGA Girls Golf. And, of course, your mission is to empower and support girls and women through the development and humanitarian golf initiatives. I know it was established in 91 as a nonprofit 501c3. Just give my listeners just a little bit more information as to some of the different things, and I want to do sort of focus on, of course, your flagship junior program a little bit, but just sort of start off, if you will, Nancy H., and just sort of let the listeners know a little bit more about the foundation and some of the different ways they can get involved.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, the LPGA was, you know, established because of 13 amazing women who had a dream, basically to play professional golf. And I don't have to tell you what an amazing, thought that was back in 1950 when the LPGA was established. But, you know, we're here today because of those 13 women who had this dream of turning their passion for golf into their golf career. And, you know, the LPGA is now the largest and longest standing women's professional sports organization in the world. It's made up of not only the tours, but also the teaching and club professional memberships. And as you just said, the LPGA Foundation, which, you know, came along a little bit later, but You know, it really has three different areas to the foundation. First is our scholarships, which we award scholarships to girls to help them, you know, basically get to college and continue their dream of playing golf. And we have three different scholarships, which is the Dinah Shore Scholarship, the Marilyn Smith Scholarship, which are one of our founders who's still alive and is very active, you know, takes care of that scholarship and makes sure that we have enough funding to award significant dollars to girls, and also our Phyllis Meekin Scholarship. So three different scholarships that we award to girls, plus we have our Dolores Hope Financial Assistance Fund, which we are able to help those in the golf industry who have need and have had some sort of, you know, catastrophic illness or injury or something where they need help, and we're able to help them with that. And then, as you said, probably our major initiative is our LPGA-USGA Girls Golf Program, which is over 25 years old, and we've partnered with the USGA, and we'll have introduced 30,000 girls to the game of golf through our Girls Golf Program. And not only do we teach them the game of golf, but we prepare and inspire them for the game of life through our 5 E's of girls golf. So it's more than just teaching them golf. It's really empowering, enriching, engaging them in their communities, exercising their minds and bodies, and, of course, energizing them through golf, which is a game that we all love.
Right. What are some of the ways that the foundation recruits or encourages some of the participants, you know, to participate in the various programs? What, I mean, obviously you mentioned through the school and college programs and things like that, but are there other things that are going across the, you know, globally, obviously now, I guess as golf has expanded, that you're doing that help sort of draw, you know, future participants, I guess, into the programs?
Yeah, absolutely. Our girls golf program, as you said, we just opened our first international girls golf program in Korea, and we're very excited to be introducing girls, you know, in Korea to golf through there. But you know, we have over 300 sites in the U.S., and those sites take girls from the ages of 7 to 17, and you know, really introduce them to golf. You know, they may or may not become the next Morgan Pressel, who, by the way, was an alumni from our girls golf program. But they know that they'll have golf in their life, and it's something that, you know, maybe at a later stage in their life or when they're in the business world, they can, you know, have that golf and still use it to their benefit to network and you know, basically just help them along the way, that's for sure.
Just to give, I guess, an example to the listeners here, how can they get involved in supporting the foundation? What are some of the things that they can do to support the LPGA Foundation?
Yeah, they can volunteer their time to help out one of our girls' golf sites, because obviously a lot of those that have taken up the game have taken it up later in life, so they would be great role models to those girls. They can go to LPGA.com and click on the LPGA Foundation and our girls' golf site to donate. Actually, if they donate $10, that $10 actually will support a girl for 1 year through our program.
Wow.
And then they can also support girls golf by making a donation to any one of the financial assistance or to our scholarships online. So, you know, there's a lot of ways that they can engage in girls and make sure that, you know, the game of golf is, if they are passionate about it, they can share that passion with a lot of the girls out there.
Right. And I'd just like to talk a little bit more about your flagship program. Just maybe, if you can, if you don't mind, just expand a little bit more on it, what's involved in it and how does it work and that sort of, and how do people become involved in that?
Sure, absolutely. Like I said, we have about 300 sites all over the country. You can actually go to LPGA.com and search for a site near you. So if you're a parent out there or a grandparent out there and you have a daughter or a granddaughter that you'd like to introduce to golf, you know, for every 10 juniors that take up the game, 8 of them are boys and 2 of them are girls. And what we found is if we put them in a girls-only environment where we take those 2 little girls, they tend to turn into 4 little girls or 6 little girls or 8 little girls.
Right.
So you can find a site near you by going to LPGA.com and you know, enter, you know, one of your girls into our program. And, you know, basically it's a game that they can enjoy for their lifetime.
It certainly, but, yeah, I mean, as I said, I've always been a big proponent of of women in golf, and I know there's a lot of fantastic junior programs, and I know that I'm sure all of you are involved. Let's bring some of the others in. Nicole, I know that you've done a lot of junior programs at your facility up in the Lanings Club, and Carol, I know that you've got some junior programs and things like that. I'm going to throw a question out there, and I want all of you to really sort of jump in and give your thoughts and views, but what are some of the areas, obviously, in golf, and I'm talking about specifically in golf, that women tend to excel more so than men, and a little bit vice versa? I mean, obviously, we know men tend to focus more on the power game and things like that, but what areas of the game do you think that most women tend to, from your experiences, tend to focus on? What areas are more apt to be where they're going to excel?
Well, this is Carol. I think that women have an ability to be much more accurate than men, but that's probably mm-hmm. because they're not creating as much club head speed. And on that note, the women really want to learn how to hit it farther, because whether, you know, a lot of people agree and disagree as far as how important distance is to the game, but that's one thing women want. They want to hit it farther. And I think that we find with junior girls, it's, you know, especially if they want to compete when they get into their teen years, they need to learn how to get distance off the tee box.
Absolutely. This is Nancy Q. I'll add on to that by saying that a lot of the ladies that we teach, they are very accurate. They are going to hit it straight down. They're not going to hit it far enough to go offline. They do want distance, but they also want to do it correctly. And so when I see, and I do a lot of clinics, they want to know every nuance. They want to do everything right. They don't want to hold anybody up. They want to make sure they know the rules. They want to make sure they know the etiquette. And so they do see more of the big picture of golf than most of the men do. The men are just going to go out, and they're going to go out and enjoy and play with their buddies, and they're going to learn that way, where the women will not want to get out there until it's ready. And so what we have to do is we have to push them to the golf course sooner than what they would rather want to go.
I know from my own experience, obviously I teach as well, and pardon me, one of the things that I've noticed a lot in the difference, just from my own personal experiences, is men tend to want to carry that bragging right of hitting it further and that sort of thing. And I think, as you said, all of you have really mentioned that the women tend to be more diligent in learning the game and actually are a little apprehensive at first about getting, and I've noticed that as well, that they want to get out in the practice range and things like that and work on different aspects of the game. But when it actually gets out to playing around, they're a little bit more apprehensive about putting that, you know, bringing it all together and putting it in that great round. So what are some of the things that you do to encourage them, to give them that little nudge? Anyone can chime in.
Ted, this is Nicole. And, you know, you were mentioning, you know, the guys wanting to get out and just hit it really far. I ended up being co-captain of the boys' high school team, but I certainly didn't do it by hitting it far. So there are definitely other ways to play the game, and, you know, that there are a lot of ways to get it in the hole. So I think that's an important part. But, getting the women out there, and, you know, I've learned, you know, watching Nancy's programs and learning from her as a mentor and seeing what people are doing. But we do a PGA Get Golf Ready program, and it is exploding. It's, I think with women, too, they love the social aspect, and that's a cool thing because they can draw more of their friends in. We just had a group of six moms go through Get Golf Ready 1, and now they're going into 2, and there are 4 other people, and they're all getting their friends in. So I think the gelling of, you know, ladies wanting to do it as a buddy system is a great way to get more people in, and also true for girls' golf as well.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what you need. Is you get one, you're going to snowball, and you're going to get another one and another one. And we just have to, a lot of the times, a lot of my programs, the only reason I do the programs that I do, by the way, this is Nancy Q, the only reason I do some of these programs is that nobody else really wants to teach and teach these programs. So a lot of the professionals that are out there teaching, they really want that better player. They want to get out there and really want to teach that tour player and go after them. And that's great, and that's fine. It's just that the market is so needed to have these women get out there and play. They're the ones that are going to spend the money. They are the ones that are going to decide if the family's going to join a golf course and go play with their family. They're the ones that open up the purse strings and make this whole golf business work. And so if you can get them, get the juniors involved, and then get the women involved, then the men are going to be very happy because they're going to be able to play.
Yeah,
well,
great.
Sure. And let me just throw in there as far as, you know, different areas of the game. One thing that I've talked about quite a bit on this program with a number of different teaching professionals, I think they've all sort of had the same agreement. And I think part of it, and again, not to throw blame at the industry, but obviously a lot of the manufacturers tend to focus on the driver and things like that. But really the short game, I know you all teach it and I know you all do that, but really there's not as much focus in the mainstream, if you will, on the short end. And obviously, as many people have sort of thrown their input in, it's not as exciting to the average person out there, you know, putting and so on and chipping and things like that. They want to get out there and just bang balls on the range, particularly the men. And I think it's probably the other way more so really with the ladies. But so how do we sort of re-educate the population, if you will, to understand that how crucial that area of golf is?
Well, this is Carol. I in mentioning women in distance, if we have novice golfers that come into the game, whether they're men or women, the best place to start is from the hole backwards. So showing them the importance of the putting stroke, reading the green, getting the speed down, going back from chipping to pitching. And when you do it this way, by the time they're in their third session, they're halfway to three-quarters of the way done swinging the golf club. So it's much easier to go that route. But one of the things that I stole from my buddy Nicole is an idea of the practice with a purpose classes, not just practice, but having practice with a purpose. And 5 out of 6 of the topics are around the short game. So it gives the members and guests more of an opportunity to realize, gosh, I never really hit these shots. I never really hit these 50-yard pitch shots. And one program that I just started is called Inside 100 Yards. So today I had two women who are hitting a 9-iron and pitching wedge 100 yards, and then we start in from 70 to 60. But then I had three gentlemen yesterday who are hitting a 56-degree wedge in a three-quarter swing 100 yards. So I think the more programs we can provide that are instructional but fun and include everybody, I think I think people realize it. They just need to learn how to practice it to get the most out of their time.
Well, this is Nancy Q. I will tell you that all of my clinics that are based on distance, they fill up really, really quickly. All of my clinics that are focused on putting and short game and such like that, they fill up a little less fast. They just flow up. But you know, a lot of it is score based. If people thought about the score, then it may be that way. But not everybody has a handicap. Not everybody understands that by establishing the handicap, that really it is about lowering scores. And when they decide to keep that score and to really focus on a handicap, like what we did with our juniors, our high school juniors this year, we made every one of them establish that handicap so that they could see where that was going to go. So all of my high school programs were, we would go out and play, and it would all be what the score is from 100 yards and in, what the score is from 50 yards and in. And now when they're playing their high school matches, they're out there shooting 36s and 34s and 39s because they've been focusing on that short game because of score. But we got to get people thinking about score, and when you get them thinking about score, then the short game becomes paramount.
I agree. And this is Nicole. And I just had just really a couple quick points. I think with short game too, you know, when people come up and they're like, "Oh, my short game's fine." One of my little gauntlets is I'll ask them. I'll say, "Well, if you can beat me, we don't have to work on it. But if you can't beat me, then we have to get out there and work on a little bit." And I'm starting to use something called game plan, very similar to like a shot by shot kind of a tracking method. And when people actually see how many three putts and what the putting does to the score. It's amazing. I'll say, you know, you can have a bad day hitting, but if you also have a bad day in the short game, your score's going to go up huge. If you have a poor day hitting, but you can get your short game in, you know, it'll help put a dent in that score, and they can see that with the stat tracker. And with Get Golf Ready 1, we've actually tweaked the program. We're going to have 5 levels now. We're going to cap it at 5, but level 1 is now pure snag. It is all snag, and people are loving it because they're building from rolling or putting up to chipping, then pitch, then long game, and they love the short distance. We are so big on tee it forward and snag and just building from the bottom up.
Well, I know, let me just jump in here. This is Ted O, by the way. Let me jump in. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Let me jump in real quick. Just to give you an example, my sister, who's also named Nancy, we'll call her Nancy O for the purpose of clarification. She certainly was not a great striker of the ball or by any means, but she was a phenomenal putter. And to the point, it used to nauseate me when we would play because, you know, it would take her a few extra strokes to get to the green. But, man, I'll tell you, from 30, 40 feet away, this girl could sink a putt. And it used to just frustrate me. And she would just walk up there, didn't think about it, just boom. And it was just sort of a natural feel around the green. And even with her chipping and that, she was very articulate. And I know that she did have some lessons. I mean, she certainly didn't run the gamut like some do. But I just noticed with women particularly that they tend to be much more focused on that area of the game. And as you said, I believe Carol had mentioned earlier about women certainly do want to hit the distance, hit the ball a little further, but they tend to really excel, I think, in the short game much more so than men, as a general rule. Agree, disagree?
This statistic may have changed. I think the LPGA Tour average versus the PGA Tour average, and Nancy and Nicole, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the LPGA Tour average of getting up and down or number of putts might be one stroke higher than the PGA Tour.
Wow.
And I'm not sure if, you know, women being multitaskers, I'm not sure if we can't decide on which club to use or where to land it, or we have too many options in our head and we're noncommittal, but I think that that's true. I think that the best players in the world, the men, edge the women by one stroke in that category.
Yeah, I would agree. I know when I've watched, and I watch, to be honest, these days a lot more of the LPGA than I do the PGA, and it's not, again, a knock against the guys. I find it more interesting, to be honest. I just find it a more interesting, enjoyable tournaments to watch the LPGA. For that reason, they tend to focus more in different aspects of the game where, and again, I'm not meaning this as a criticism, but with the PGA, it tends to be, again, because it's a more distance game for a lot of them, it's, you know, a long club and then a short club in and then, you know, one or two putts type of thing. And there's not really the same, how can I put this, really not the same sort of mythology in their game as I see on the LPGA. The LPGA, I mean, they're using really virtually every club in their bag.
I think you're right. Yeah, Ted, you're right. And when I tell my men that they need to go watch an LPGA tournament because they will hit the ball relatively close to the same distance sometimes as the LPGA Tour players. If they're in that longer category of driving, but they're also going to see more of their game on an LPGA Tour than they would ever see on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I agree, Nancy.
Nancy H., let me just throw another question out to you, particularly with respect to the foundation. Obviously, you know, if there's things that you can't throw out there right now, are there other programs or things that you're working on right now that you'd like to sort of give a sneak peek on? Is there anything else that the foundation is currently looking to do in the next year or a couple of years to sort of expand golf in that area?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. As I was listening to these three amazing professionals on the phone, you know, we have our Girls Golf Team Championship and a golf academy that was held for the last 2 years at the Kiawah Island Club, and that's obviously where Carol Preisinger is, and Nicole was part of it. And, you know, we do those basically to get our girls there to learn and to be able to play on a wonderful golf course like, you know, Azathequia Island Club. And I can't really explain to you what an amazing experience that was, but as I'm listening to these three professionals, you know, I think about that we have 1,500 women who are LPGA teaching club professionals who are out there, you know, in the golf industry teaching and managing facilities and working, and how uniquely trained they are through our teaching certification program. You know, just to give you an example, we have 80 hours of teacher training that these three ladies on the phone have gone through. And it just shows you how amazing they are by listening to them. I'm kind of blown away every time I get to hear them talk and all the programs they run and what they do and how much time they donated, you know, both Carol and Nicole, toward, you know, that team event. You know, they didn't make really a lot of money for doing it. They did it just to donate their time and basically to impact the lives of these girls. And they can talk about what an incredible experience it was. But, you know, I think more than anything else is, you know, if you haven't experienced an LPGA professional, for all those listeners out there, I would certainly encourage you to go to LPGA.com, enter your zip code, and find an LPGA teacher near you, because they are truly amazing.
Yeah, I certainly concur, and I've had the pleasure of watching a number of them over the years. Obviously, I'm not sure if most of you know this or not. Originally, I'm from Canada, and of course, the LPGA plays up there, and I believe is it the Des Mauriers? I'm not sure they still call it that now. There's been a few years since I've been there, obviously. Is it CN now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it used to be at one time, wasn't it the Des Mauriers? Now, that's, I think,
it
is
was.
Yeah, okay, I thought so. I remember now that they changed to the CN. I had been to a few of the events there, and of course, followed them in on the at the Canadian Open for a number of years as well. But obviously, I haven't been watching that. I watch more of it on TV now. But I know there were some great ladies that were up there. I remember the one year particularly that Annika Sörenstam came up, and it was just, I mean, it blew me away, just the abilities that this young lady, and she was obviously a little younger at the time, but just the abilities that she had in playing, and how, I mean, you want to talk to somebody, and I want to ask this question to all of you right now about the mental side of golf. I know that I was reading here on one of your sites, and I believe it was Nancy Q, if I'm not mistaken, or no, pardon me, it's Carol, that offers some mental game golf workshops. Expand a little bit about that, and then I'd like to get some feedback from all of you about the mental side of golf and how important that is.
Well, I was at a teaching summit when I met a guy named Bobby Foster, and he had modified the personality profile of the DISC, D-I-S-C, model to golf performance. And Nicole's very familiar with it. Nicole's actually the expert. I believe she utilizes that more than I do. But it's a resource that Bobby provides through the web, and anybody can take the profile. And it talks about, who you can identify with certain male and female tour players that have the same personality style as you do. Are you dominant? Are you imaginative and inspirational? Are you strategic and steady, or are you conscientious and maybe you think too much? So when you take a profile on the DISC model for golf, it will tell you, you know, what your strengths are and what you tend to do to get in your own way out there on the golf course. So it's nice to have experts in the field that provide their, you know, services as a resource to give to your students. Another, which Nancy Q and Nicole are familiar with is Dr. Rick Jensen, who we've had at a lot of mm-hmm. our LPGA seminars, and he's got a terrific presentation and program and a certification program. But, you know, we just try to utilize our industry colleagues and resources to share this information to help our students play better.
And this is Nicole. I would definitely agree with everything Carol said. Are wonderful resources, and we've enjoyed having a lot of those people in for seminars. And my background, my master's degree is in sports psychology, so it became really helpful when I came into the golf industry, and I do a lot of that with students. And we just had our LPGA summit in Colorado, which was fantastic, ladies. Really good job, Carol and Nancy H. And I am so blown away by what I'm going to be doing, studying under Tim Cramer. And he does the Spirit of Golf, which is actually, Ted, kind of turning the game more into an emotional study rather than a mental study.
Right.
You know, how emotions, what a kind of emotional state of mind you're in, or state of body you're in, or feeling. It's going to be great. So I can't wait to start going into that. It's a whole untapped field that's becoming really big. But to me, 95% of the game is mental. You don't do anything until you're ready to. And then 5% is the shot. I think what we see with amateurs is like 80% is, the shot. And they don't spend as much time on the mental part of it. So, you know, you don't do anything until you get your intention going. So, you have to, what does Pia and Lynn say? You have to pay attention to your intention.
That's right. Let me, Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott with Vision 54, phenomenal mental, spiritual, and also the summit that Nicole just mentioned, our LPGA National Teaching and Coaching Summit, we had Dr. Deborah Graham speak, who runs a mental program called Golf Psych. So there's a lot out there to help people think better or think less. Or think about the right thing.
This is Nancy Q. I'll chime in. I have the mental golf profile workshop as well, but I've also for many years studied under someone that is doing with the LPGA and partnering with the LPGA, Dr. Greg Steinberg. He was with me for probably 15 years ago and studied under him a lot. But also just recently under Steve Yellen with Quiet Mind. And I cannot tell you, Quiet Mind, the program that I just witnessed with him over the winter was just incredible to really take, you know, when you're getting ready to hit a golf shot, to really not focus on those swing thoughts that we're giving you, but trying to get you more into the target, but really to quiet the signal from you deciding what you're going to do and how you're going to make this shot happening to going on and happen. And I actually had a beginner golfer in front of me when I was studying with Steve, and she had some quirky, real quick, jerky moves. And as soon as Steve got a hold of her and started giving her a couple of the series of challenges for her to really quiet her mind, I saw this swing just become, instead of this jerky motion, become just as fluid as could be, and all of a sudden just hit the shot of her life, and she kept hitting it. And it's amazing when you can pick on and get through the mental side of somebody, but look at all these programs that we mentioned, and there's just not one, there's many, many that you can learn from. Your listeners are going to really, it's going to blow their mind away to play. You know, it's great to have the instruction and great to have the help, of course, the mechanics, but to let it go when you go play golf, it's really incredible.
And we would be remiss to not mention Dr. Debbie Cruz, who is out at Arizona State University. She has a new program called Think Golf, THINQ. Is that correct?
Yeah,
that's incorrect. It is a tough
and,
one, too.
God, and she's also written a book, Energy. She's phenomenal. She's phenomenal. So there's so many resources out there, but the women are very good at this.
Yeah, and if anybody, any listeners forget, feel free to email one of us, and we'd be happy to give some resources.
Exactly.
Sure, and actually what I'm going to do is I got to take just a short little pause here for a second, ladies, so just hold tight here. I just want you to play a short clip. I want to let my listeners in on a great gift item, really. It's called the In-Your-Face View Base. I don't know if you're familiar with it, ladies, at all, but it's a view base for smartphones, iPhones, that you can clip either to a golf cart or golf bag so that your phone isn't sliding all over the place. Let me just play this quick clip, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ted from Golf Talk Live. Are you making use of all those golf apps out there? You know, the ones that help you improve your game or have a GPS of the golf course? Well, you're going to need a holder for that smartphone, and here's the perfect holder. The In-Your-Face View Base, flexible holder for smartphones. It easily clamps onto your golf cart or golf bag and lets you make use of those apps on the course hands-free. The In-Your-Face View Base will easily become your must-have golf accessory. Buy one today at theinyourface.com.
thank you, ladies, for your patience, and welcome back. Just for the listeners, before we continue on, just remember that we are live every Thursday at 6 p.m., and the shows are all auto-recorded, so you can visit the show later on if you happen to miss the live broadcast at blogtalkradio.com/golftalklive, and you can listen to not only this broadcast but any of the previous broadcasts as well. So I encourage you to do that. Ladies, let me just ask, just continuing on with the mental side of the game, and then I want to get into allow you an opportunity to talk a little bit about each of your programs and things like that a little bit more, and we'll give out those websites and things like that so that the listeners can find out how to get in touch with you and so forth. Just one last thing on the mental side of the game. What are some things, I guess, that you're doing in your programming right now to help strengthen the mental side of golf with your students? What are some things that you're doing to get them to stay more focused, to stay more alert with what they need to do and not get distracted by so many things going around? I mean, I know it's not an easy task, but what are some of the things, the exercise or things that you're doing to help keep your students focused? And start off, Nicole.
Oh, I would say, like Carol mentioned, we're doing practice with a purpose sessions, and a lot of people come to lessons, but then they don't either practice properly or practice well or have the feedback. So I'm trying to guide them into coming back and doing much more coaching. I think that's where the industry is shifting. So we're doing teaching, but we also want to do a heck of a lot more coaching. So, you know, tour players have their coaches with them or some kind of a training apparatus for feedback. So they want to know that they're doing it right. So, you know, definitely practice sessions where they can come back and implement and get feedback on what they're doing. You know, building programs through, like, Get Golf Ready, those types of programs are phenomenal. The price, you know, is $99 for 5 hours. So our programs, again, are going to catapult into five different levels, which is phenomenal, and we'll cap it at that. But even going to something like the LPGA Front Row Experience, I had such a cool time at the Solheim Cup. I've never done a Front Row Experience before. So people can come up and get lessons, 10-minute little free lessons at LPGA events, which is, they're just so cool. And I know Carol's done a lot more, and I'm sure Nancy Q has too. But those are just some really nice ways to get started. And, you know, again, looking for family-type events. And many youth golf programs now are offering, you know, if the children are taking class, then the parents may have something on the side as well. They're starting to offer something for the parents who are just sitting around and trying to get them all involved. And, you know, the more fun, the better. Snag clubs are fantastic. Like I said, we start all of our students out with that are newer, and the visuals are just great, great reminders.
Perfect. Carol, before I let you go on, let me just mention to the ladies, but also to the listeners, Nancy Henderson had to bow out, I believe. I know she had some things that she needed to do, so she's not with us at this point. But I do have some three great professionals here with me, Nicole Weller, Carol Preisinger, and also Nancy Corsolino. Carol, tell a little bit at some of the programs that you offer at your facility, and I'll give you all a chance to update a little bit how they can get in touch with you and that sort of thing a little bit later. But, Carol, go ahead and just talk about some of the things that you're doing at Kiwa Island.
Well, going back to the mental aspect, one of the things we try to do through our practice programs is, you know, obviously people want to develop skills for whatever area they need to improve in. But there's a process of practice called transfer practice that Dr. Bob Christina and Eric Alpenfels did a lot of research on up at Pinehurst, and it's mixing repetition with randomizing your shots, your clubs, your practice on the range, in essence trying to make your practice more like your on-course performance so that it's easier to take your skill that you're practicing on the range and perform it on the golf course. Because we all know, you know, how many times have we all heard, well, I can do it on the range, but I can't do it on the golf course. So one of the things I've been trying to do since I've met a new friend, Will Robbins, out in California with Robbins Golf, who does almost all of his teaching on the golf course. You know, when we take people out on the course, they need to trust. They need to go through that pre-shot routine and make the decisions, make the commitment, you know, choose the club, talk about where, think about where they're going to go, where it's going to land, and then get into that play box and do it, and just commit to it and do it. And I think there's, you know, I think it takes both transferring your practice on the range and then being able to go out on the course and just committing mentally to doing it physically. But I'm so fortunate to work where I work. It's like Kiawah Island is like paradise. And our, our club, you know, allows me to create, be as creative as I want to be, creating these programs. You know, as Nancy said, the last 2 years we hosted the LPGA USGA Girls Golf Academy and Championship, where we had over 130 young ladies from 7 to 17 having a blast with golf. We have special events there. We bring guest teachers in. I'm Aimpoint certified in level one, so that reading greens and having a chart to tell you exactly how much a putt will break, you know, why guess when you can measure? I've been having a lot of enjoyment sharing Aimpoint green reading with the members. But you know, we just want to keep creating programs, making them fun, making them accessible to people, and, you know, especially with women, letting women realize that this is a game that can empower them in so many ways and not to be afraid of it.
Right. Let me just jump in there real quick, Carol. I wanted to ask you about, because I noticed that on your website that you're Aimpoint certified. Just for those out there that aren't familiar with that particular program, can you just kind of give us a brief what Aimpoint is and what's involved in it, how it works?
Absolutely. A guy named Mark Sweeney invented the Aimpoint green reading system. Through many years of research and algorithms and you know, science, he has developed a chart that when you're trained to use it, you can learn how to read a putt based on tilt and time, defining the definition of the slope where straight uphill is, and knowing your angle to the slope and knowing your distance of the putt. And when you can learn how to feel percentage of slope in your feet, you can take those primary characteristics and use your chart and know exactly how much a putt will break. There are several hundred certified Aimpoint instructors. You can find their names on the web. There's intro classes, fundamentals classes, and advanced classes. It is phenomenal, and it's woken up my left brain, which has been asleep for so many years. But probably the best example of how to succeed with Aimpoint is Stacy Lewis. Mm-hmm. She is a huge user of Aimpoint, and her teacher Joe Hallett, they have really rocked the world with Aimpoint, and it's helped Stacy reach a number one position on the tour, you know, in the player in the world, and it's done wonders for her game, so it can do wonders for anybody's game.
And mine.
Perfect. Nancy Q, I'll let you talk a little bit about the School of Golf out in Spring Hill, Tennessee.
Absolutely. Well, we're just a little bit outside of Nashville, Tennessee, and, of course, that's country music capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, absolutely a great city, a lot of fun, and a lot of great golfers as well. I've been here since 1986, since when the Sara Lee Classic, the LPGA tournament, was at Hermitage Golf Course, where I was the head pro. So I've been around this area for a long, long time, and I was the very first to develop a golf school in the state of Tennessee, and
wow,
in terms of anybody having anything as an instructor. So what was really nice is I've had the pleasure of working alongside of many, many wonderful teachers from all over. Michael Hebron is a wonderful friend of mine that really influences me a lot in how I teach and what I teach. Rita Reasons, who owns the golf school with me, and myself, we've been studying under Mike Adams. And Mike is just an incredible mind. And, you know, the LPGA has always been ahead of the curve when it comes to instruction. And they've always taken the person in mind of who you have in front of you and how to make them best work. And I've had these pieces and parts in my head, and I've heard all these systems, and there's all these, you know, stack and tilt, one plane and two plane. And everybody is, everybody, there, if I've got three people on my lesson team, one of them is going to be one, is going to go into one direction, another one's going to go in another direction.
Sure.
I can't just teach a system. So what's nice about my golf school is that we don't really have a system. We have a frame, and that frame says that if you move this way, then you need to hit it this way. If you have a hinge, and I work very very much on what kind of hinges people have, that creates what kind of releases they have. And if you know that difference between hinge and release and which one's going to work, then all of a sudden you've got this wonderful world that opens up to people that are going to learn, and they're going to learn very quickly, and they're going to accomplish very quickly. We had a young junior golfer that just sat there and was not hitting a 3-wood 50 yards, and it really quickly got him into this. We measured and framed him out and said, okay, this is where we want you to come back to and to swing to. Well, the next day we get a phone call from the mother at the end of the middle school round, where the young man shot 39 and he hit the 3-wood like 4 times as far as he ever had.
Wow.
And all of a sudden it really everything clicked. So a lot of what we do is we make sure that that each person has developed their own set of skills of what they need, what kind of grip they need, what kind of setup they need, what kind of backswing they need, what kind of hinge, what kind of follow through. And it's all going to be very dependent upon themselves as what they are. So Nicole's going to be one way, Carol's going to be one way, I'm going to be one way, we're all going to be different. But once we lock into what's natural, that's where we are. The other thing is, yes, I've been going into more coaching. I've always been a coach. I've always done more group lessons and more coaching sessions than anybody ever has from the very, very beginning. And it's just been now we're even designing our programs for next year to even change what we're doing from this year. But a lot of what we do is we encourage people to let us watch them on a golf course first. I want to see what kind of player they are if they're not a beginner. I want to see what kind of player they are. And we actually take them out and watch them, and we never say anything to them. We just watch their instincts,
yep.
Watch what they do, how their routines are, what they're doing, and we give them an analysis at the end and say, this is what you're going to need to do in order to shoot lower scores and to play better. And I've always said, if the game was about scoring, then they'll listen to you, okay?
Sure.
not always when that person comes to you is it about scoring. It's about hitting it longer. It's about pitching it 50 yards.
Right.
Whatever it is, whatever they got to do. But if the game was about scoring and handicaps, then it wouldn't be a problem of getting people out there on that golf course and saying, look, you've got you're making a little bit different decision here. How about we make a better decision? So I'm all for letting them try to create their own decision making. You know, let's try this club and tell me what the difference is. If you can do it better, you know, like Nicole says, if you can do it better than me, but Nicole, that would mean that I would have to play more golf. And so, but the key is if they can show me that they can hit that lob wedge closer than that bump and run shot, then I'm going to let them do it.
Yeah,
right.
It is going to be based upon them. But if they can show me and they can determine that that's a better decision, then, hey, that's what they're going to do and that's what they're going to use. So ours is we do train. Our tagline on QSOG.com is train to play. And that's what we definitely are doing. We're training beginner golfers to play, junior golfers to compete. And we're training the everyday golfer just to have more fun out on a golf course.
Sure. Let me just touch on a point that you said, and actually you all have really sort of alluded to this, but Nancy, you had just mentioned
You know, everybody's swing is different. Everybody is different in how they approach the game. And to really, and I understand exactly what you were saying about the different programs that are out there. There is not one size fits all. And really to prove that, if you go back in time a little bit, and I've mentioned this several times on the program as well, if you look at a lot of the older golfers, and I'm going to focus on the men here for a second, mainly because at that particular time there was more, obviously, television on the men. But, you know, you look at the differences between players like Nicklaus and Trevino and Watson and things like that and Palmer, all uniquely different, but all getting essentially the same results. Some obviously got a little better results than others, but they were all had certain key elements that were the same. But the swings and the approach, everything from the setups to the postures and things like that, were all uniquely different. So mm-hmm. taking what you were just saying, Nancy, if you tried to apply a one-size-fits-all to all of those players, it would be interesting to see how things would have panned out in the long run because everybody has a different style.
Well, you're exactly right. And I think I just ask people, tell me what the fundamentals of golf are. Okay, and they come up with, well, it's grip, it's aim, it's setup, and I'm going, okay, so on the tour, how many different grips are there out there on the tour? Well, there's a lot. Well, how many different setups? Because somebody's going to set up left. Well, so now your alignment is totally different, so you're saying that's not a fundamental. So how many of you all are bent over or tall? Well, so where are the fundamentals in golf? They're not the grip, aim, and setup are not really fundamentals. They're fundamental to you, but
right.
they're going to be different to everybody else. And so my setup's going to be different than anybody else's setup, and your grip's going to be different than my grip. And if I don't know that you need to be different, then you're going to suffer through your round of golf, trying to make something happen, just like this lady today that I had, and I said you're gonna try to make a backswing happen that you can't do, and you've been trying to do it, and now you've said you're my last hope, and so that she's come to me as the last, you know, teacher standing here, you know, and saying I need to do this. I said, well, you can't do that. You're not built for that. If you do this, all of a sudden, boom. It changed.
Right.
You know, and if we kept everybody in the same mold, we would have probably a third of the people be very, very happy golfers, and the rest of them would quit.
Right. Let me just interject here real quick, ladies, before we continue on. For those of you tuning into the program at this point, I'm joined by, was joined actually by four seasoned professionals. Nicole Weller, the head teacher professional of the Landings Club out in Savannah, Georgia. I was previously joined by Nancy Henderson, president of the LPGA Foundation and executive director of the LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals. She had to step out and tend to some business, but we certainly enjoyed having her on, and we'll talk more about the foundation at a later show with her. Carol Preisinger, director of instruction at the Kiwa Island Club in Kiwa Island, South Carolina, and, of course, Nancy Corsolino, founder of the Nancy Corsolino School of Golf at Kings Creek Golf Club in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Ladies, let me just say this, that I thoroughly enjoy having you on the program, and we're not quite done yet. I got you for a few more minutes here yet before I'm going to let you go, but I enjoy having you on the program. It certainly has been informative. And, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, I want to really instill to my listeners is golf is a very unique game compared to many. I mean, it can be a team effort when you're playing in things like the Ryder Cup and Solheim Cups and things like that, but it's really a very individual sport, and it's the type of thing that it really mimics life in so many ways. There's a lot of up and down challenges that we face, and besides the up and down undulations of the greens, of course, but that's why we want to get involved with Aimpoint and help that end of it out. But what I want to ask you, ladies, is some of the areas of golf that really need more focus on. What are some of the areas besides the playing end of it that really need to be focused on, particularly towards women? What areas do need to be improved upon? What areas do you feel have got a good stronghold, but primarily what areas in the game need to be pay more attention, shall we say, for lack of better words, for women?
Ted, this is Nicole. I think definitely looking at club fitting. Clubs are continuously improving, but making sure we get clubs into people's hands that are easy to use and make it user-friendly. I tend to steer people into a Tour Edge set that has 7 pieces in it. Bag, head covers, great price, good product, but something that's much easier to use. And I also think just, kind of getting out there and practicing and doing it with scrimmaging. You know, Nancy was talking about doing more coaching, but people don't scrimmage enough. They don't introduce themselves to the game and to sewing different parts of the game together. They just work in individual blocks and repetition. So getting out there and doing more scrimmaging at the range, on the course, and looking into some equipment that gets you off to a really good start.
Excellent point. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead,
I'm sorry,
please.
Ted. No, I was just going to reiterate what Nicole said because it's, we need to get manufacturers to give better support to women's golf clubs and the fitting carts because women are just as different than the men, the way they, not just
right.
their personalities and the way they process information, but the way they're anatomically built or whether they have, physical limitations. So these things are important in club fitting, and if we can't get the clubs that fit the women in their hands, they're not going to be encouraged to play the game. And the only other thing is we just have to open the doors at every golf club, whether it's the municipal mm-hmm. down the street or the private club, and make it more inviting and welcoming to everyone, to the women, because they are a little timid when they get around. They think
mm-hmm.
they have to be perfect, and, we just need to do a better job of that.
Well, let me tell you from my own personal, I agree 1,000% with what you just said, Carol. And, one of the things that, I'll be honest, I've played golf for a number of years. I'm going to be 50 next year, Ike. It's hard to believe, but yes, I'm going to be 50 next year. Gray hair makes me look. I don't want to know. One thing my mother told me never ask, and I have no intentions of throwing myself under the bus here, ladies. But, I've played for quite a number of years. I was introduced to golf at a very, very early age and really started getting involved into it when I was about 6 or 7 years old. But I'll be honest, I've played with a lot of my buddies back home over the years and played. I always enjoyed actually going to a course and just sort of jumping in, with a twosome or threesome that was there and sort of adding on. And I'll be honest, I enjoyed actually playing many times with the ladies. They were a lot more fun. The guys, and don't get me wrong, I love competition. I think it's great, and I'm not trying to sound like an old softy here, but I just enjoyed it. It was more fun. We had a lot more laughs, and it just was a more enjoyable round of golf, in my opinion. If I want to get out and get serious, I'd prefer to play by myself because a lot of my buddies, they're actually too much of a distraction at times, and I don't always – and I enjoy it, don't get me wrong, but – once in a while, it's kind of nice to leave the boys at home and let them do their thing, and I'm going to go and do my thing. But anyways, I've always enjoyed playing with the ladies at the courses. But that's a very valid point, though. Do you think, ladies, that that's still a major hurdle in golf today with a lot of the courses out there, even despite the recessions that have gone on here in the last several years? Is that still a big hurdle for women? Is getting
well,
through the
I wish it wasn't. I mean, I really do. I wish that, the PGA and the LPGA have been hounded about, getting women in the door and get the juniors in the door. And they still, to this day, they struggle with how to talk to them, how to speak to them. We don't want to put the women professionals in just to fold clothes and be part of the merchandising in there. They have to, but really my whole theory of golf courses should be that you need to have a woman in there that is inviting in that behind that counter in that pro shop that, mm-hmm. that can help somebody. And hire an LPGA professional that's going to help you get that group of people that are going to come in. But I still think that it's a very difficult thing. The women still are very insecure, and we have to teach them how to be secure. I mean, I get women. The women came with a 20-year-old set the other day, the grips were so slick the club was going to fall out of their hand, and I made the boyfriend go get a new set of grips on there. Well, that's going to cost $140. I said, that's right, go get them on there, because he would never hit with that kind of grip. But here, honey, hit this driver, and then when you can hit it well, then we'll get you one. And it's a 9.5 stiff driver, and I'm going, just put it in a bag and just go away, and do you have your own account of money? Let's get you fit, you know?
Yeah.
And we have to train women. We have to train women to be more aggressive as to what they want. I mean, they are the ones that are going to open up the purse strings and buy, but the men are still going to be influenced and saying, oh, your set of clubs is fine. Well,
yeah.
If it was, maybe they would play better. And what is it, the cart before the horse? What is it?
Right.
Is it better clubs or is it a better game? And that's our job, is to really figure out, do they really have the right ones and the right equipment? And then do you have the right person in front of you that's going to help you train and learn how to play golf? And, I go back to just how what happens is that this lady came to me and said I was the last straw, because every person that came to her never addressed what she wanted. Here's what I want, but they never gave it to her. And you know what? That's what customer service is. What do you want? Here, let me get it for you.
Go ahead, Ted.
No, I was just going to add to that. I was going to say, attitude is everything, and you're right. I think if I was to coin a phrase that I think a lot of the pro shops out there could probably use a makeover, number one, because I know when I go in there, a lot of them are very ill-equipped to really deal with women. They've got a few things in the corner and maybe a couple of outfits and that sort of thing, but really a lot of them are still gearing primarily to the men. And it is a very intimidating for a lot of women that are coming in there, especially when you've got somebody behind the counter that, is sort of in a – and I'll be honest. I mean, I've walked in myself, and some of them are in a posture that's really a little intimidating. And, you're going in there, and it's predominantly – men standing around, talking and shooting and gossiping and things like that. So I can certainly understand for women there a certain intimidation. If you had, as you said, Nancy, some women behind the counter, it would be more inviting. And I guarantee the pro shops would look a heck of a lot better too. So that's just my two cents of the. It's really a no-brainer. And you gals are 100% right. And this is, again, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the program. And I want to continue on with this theme for many more shows. And I won't get into it on air right now, because I mentioned this to you off air. And I really want you ladies to think about what I proposed. And I'm certainly interested in some ideas and getting others involved in it as well. But I think it would be a worthwhile venture for me to do, and I'm 100% behind it and willing to do my part of it. So I'd like you gals to think about that and, get back to me either collectively or through one spokesperson. That's fine. And, I would certainly be willing to do that, because I think it's an area of golf that's still – is very stagnant. I mean, it's making great leaps and bounds compared to what it was 20, 30 years ago, but it's still an area that really needs to move forward, and I would be willing to do whatever I can to help that happen. Let me just, as we get towards the end here, ladies, because I know that your time is precious, and I do, again, thank you very much for coming on the program. Nicole, we'll start with Nicole, I'm going to end with you, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Nancy, let's... very quickly, run through the website and that again. How can people get in touch with you, and where can they get a hold of you, that sort of thing? And we'll just run through that, and then Carol, we'll move to you next.
Absolutely. My website is the letter QSOG.com. Q is the spelling of my last name, Corsolino,
right.
So don't try to look that up. But QSOG.com, that's my website. Phone number is 615-778-8823, and that's just right outside Nashville, Tennessee. And I also spend the winters in Port St. Lucie at the PGA Learning Center. So I go down there and head down there the 1st of November, and I stay till the end of March there. My school runs 12 months out of the year here in Nashville with Rita Reason staying here and controlling driver's seat here. But during those 5 months, I'm down in Florida.
Okay, perfect.
And what
Carol?
Nancy just failed, Ted, I just want to add what Nancy just failed to tell you is that she was recently inducted into the LPGA's Teaching and Club Professionals Hall of Fame.
Wow. I'm glad you said that.
So, Ted, let me tell you that, you know, I have a lot more gray hair than you, okay? So,
no, you don't.
And I hit 50 a long time ago. I've been completely gray-headed since I was 40. So, but nonetheless, it was a great honor. I got to spend wonderful time with my friends here on the phone out in Denver, Colorado, and it was just incredible. What an incredible time in my life to reach that pinnacle, and it was beautiful. Well, and we'll just pat each other on the back because Nicole has some great news as well, because she just became the national junior leader for the PGA of America.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Well, congratulations, Nancy, on being
Thank
inducted,
you.
And that's a fantastic achievement, and I know that there are many, many more, and I think I have you beat because I started turning gray at 17, so
okay,
I'm sure
so
I...
You did. Yeah.
Not completely, but I had some whisk there. In fact, it was the brunt of many, many jokes.
I see your,
Carol,
I see your picture here on the website, so, yep.
Yeah, that's photoshopped. No, I'm kidding. Carol, please go ahead and let the listeners here know how they can get a hold of you and your website and so forth.
Okay, my website is simply carolpreisinger.com, and the last name is spelled P as in Paul, R-E-I, S as in Sam, I-N-G-E-R, carolpreisinger.com. You can contact me through my website, but I won't be available in the next week because I'm heading to Chateau Alon in Braselton, Georgia to play in the 2013 LPGA National Teaching and Club Professional Championship with 120 of my best friends and colleagues.
Well,
so
good,
that
good
is
luck.
The tagline for the LPGA is "See why it's different out here." So if anybody's in the Atlanta area and they want to come up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the 23rd, 24th, and 25th and watch some great golf of LPGA teaching and club professionals, it's going to be a lot of fun. And you'll really see some good golf and see why women have more fun playing golf.
What's the last day of the tournament?
The Pro-Am is Sunday the 22nd, and the first and second rounds are Monday the 23rd, Tuesday the 24th. There's a cut, and the final round will be Wednesday the 25th.
The reason why I was saying that is actually next weekend, not this one coming up. I'm actually going to be in Atlanta. I was kind of hoping it would be closer to the end. I'm not going in until Friday. I would have loved to stop by and say hello. But good luck in the tournament, Carol. Have some fun and enjoy
Thank
it. But,
you. I'm looking forward to competing in the senior division this year.
Well, whatever division you're competing in, Carol, best of luck. And like I said, have fun and continue to do the great work. And it's been an honor to have you on the show as well. And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't wrap up the show with my returning guest, Nicole Weller, who is, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, was my very first guest on Golf Talk Live, and what a wonderful guest she was. So, Nicole, just remind the listeners here how they can get a hold of you and let us know what's coming up.
Sure. Well, I'm happy to be a repeat offender on your show. I look forward to coming back again. Thank you so much. And I'm at the Landings Club, which is landingsclub.com. It's in Savannah, Georgia. Have to rival Carol's Paradise at Kiawah. It's a beautiful island, six courses, four shops, just gorgeous. So very fortunate to be there. And while I do work with Strictly our members and their guests, I'm very happy to reach out to anyone who has questions if I can help guide them. I am a huge proponent of getting kids into golf at age 2 and 3, and hopefully those will grow into women in golf. So really big into that. But my email is nicole.weller@landingsclub.com. And I also have a website where you can look up information on www.nicoleweller.com. I have my children's book on there, and I have a brand-new project that's starting to get going. Not even Carol and Nancy know about it yet, so hopefully I'll have that on the website as soon as it's produced. It's going to be so exciting, but I have some information there, so feel free to reach me through there, and I also have a page of resources, especially for young children. So.
Perfect. One last thing, Nicole, I want you to very briefly talk about. We don't have a lot of time, but I mentioned earlier in the broadcast about the Lindt Chocolate Golf Clinic. When is that coming about, and will I be receiving a personal invitation to that first clinic?
Everybody's invited here on the show. Carol, come on down. I'd love to have Nancy come on, Ted. But it's coming not soon enough. We're going to plan something in early December. And last year I had Lind Chocolate Rep come to our neighborhood and do this really cool RSVP party. So I'm going to be doing that with the members. So we're going to have a little golf clinic and practice, and then we're going to taste chocolate. I can't wait. And we might even try to pair some wine with it. So who knows where that will go. But it's going to be quite fun. And extremely good chocolate. Last year I ordered enough to last me for the year, so it was really good.
Oh, wow. Perfect. Well, there'll
Ted,
be a little bit. Yes.
Ted, I've heard a rumor that if you take a lesson from Nicole Weller, you can pay her in chocolate.
I know exactly what to get her. That's perfect. Well, ladies, I just want to, again, thank you very, very much for being on the program. I know that you guys have very, very busy schedules. And, Nicole, I want to thank you for inviting your friends along here to join me on Golf Talk Live. It's been certainly a pleasure. And there's really a myriad of things that we could talk about, and there's just not enough time to do it in one show. And as I said to you a few moments ago, I really want you to think about what I proposed off-air and really give it some serious thought. And if you have any suggestions or ideas that you think would make it shine even better, I'm all ears, and you know how to get in touch with me. You've got my email address, and you can certainly contact me by phone. I can provide that. One last thing, ladies, that I'm going to ask for you to do, if I can. Nicole did send me some information, but if you could individually send it to me, it'd be great. I obviously, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I have a website up now for the program, golftalkliveblog.com. I'm going to be featuring, I know that some of you, I know Nicole that you have your book, and I believe Carol, you either had a book or DVD that was available. Nancy, I believe you also have something. I am, as a courtesy to my guests, I'm putting up that information on my website, so I just need whatever link if somebody wants to purchase your book. If you have a JPEG of the cover of book or DVD, that's fine as well. And also a profile shot. Not a strike your pose in action shot like Nicole sent me, but you can. I'm only kidding. It was a good picture, actually. I'm only teasing. But send me a profile picture, and I'm going to put that up under my website so that the viewers and listeners, rather, of this program that want to check out the website will have access to your website links and also to any books or so forth that you're offering. They can go directly from my site as well to make that purchase if they're so inclined. So please forward that information, if you will, when it's convenient for you, and I will get that up as quickly as I can. And, Nicole, I haven't had a chance, unfortunately, to do yours, but I will get that up as soon as possible. But just that's something I want to do as – sorry, go ahead.
I have a new picture coming your way. I was doing a photo shoot Monday, and the humidity fogged up all the cameras, so we had to stop. But I will have a new picture coming your way.
The picture was fine. I'm only teasing. It was actually a very good picture. That would be great. But, ladies, please do that and send that off to me.
Thank you so much for doing that.
Not a problem. And, as I said, I look forward to having you guys. You guys have an open invitation to come back anytime that you want. I would love to do many, many more of these, and as I said, we'll hopefully be able to talk and put something together for the new year, as I discussed off-air. I'm serious about that. I would really love to do that and do my part in help spreading the word. And also, if any of you have somebody that you know that's in the clothing end, particularly obviously in women's clothing, golf apparel, that you think might be interested in sharing that information, forward that my information to them or have them contact me, what have you. I would certainly like to have them on the program as well. So anybody else, any of your fellow teacher professionals that would like to come on the program, by all means, they have an open invitation as well. I'm also, ladies, if you can participate, one final thing, if you can participate in the new year also, Nicole, I think I mentioned this to you before, I'm going to be starting a segment called Coach's Corner, where I'm going to have a couple of coaches on the program at one time, and we'll take some calls and things like that, and see if we can help some people on air. So if you're interested in participating on that, you have an open invitation to that as well. And that's going to be starting sometime a little bit later in January once Christmas and things are behind it. And I'm certainly not going to conflict with any Lindt chocolate golf clinics or anything like that. So, but keep that in mind as well, ladies.
Great.
I'd certainly love to have your participation in it. I know that you're, as I said, very seasoned professionals. Again, thank you very, very much for coming on Golf Talk Live. And I'm going to just wrap up a few minutes on my own. But ladies, enjoy the rest of your evening. Good luck next week, Carrie.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Thanks,
you're very welcome. All right. Take care, ladies. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, so for those of you that tune in towards the end here, I had a lot of great guests this evening. I actually had four guests. My first guest was obviously my returning guest, Nicole Weller, who is TED teaching professional at the Landings Club in Savannah, Georgia, and she's got a lot of great things coming up there. And if you're interested in getting in touch with her, there's a number of ways. You can get in touch with her through NicoleWeller.com, or you can get in touch with her at the Landings Club. Nancy Henderson, who was with us earlier in the program, is the president of the LPGA Foundation and executive director of the LPGA, Teaching and Club Professionals, and talked a little bit about the foundation. I certainly want to have her back on when she has a little bit more time. I know she had a lot of things going on this evening. I appreciate the time that she did allow for us. So, Nancy, if you happen to be listening in at some point, again, thank you very, very much for coming on the program. I appreciate you giving us this time. And Carol Preisinger, Director of Instruction at the Kiwa Island Club in Kiwa Island, South Carolina. A lot of great things happening there as well. And, Carol, I hope I'll get an invitation out to your facility as well. Certainly want to enjoy playing some golf there. And, of course, I would be remiss, but my final and wonderful guest, Nancy Corsolino, the founder of Nancy Corsolino School of Golf out at Kings Creek Golf Club in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Certainly a well-rounded group of ladies and professionals. And I just want to congratulate again Nancy for being inducted into the LPGA Teachers and Club Professionals Hall of Fame. Congratulations. And congratulations to all of you. And good luck again, Carol, next week in the tournament. For those of you that want to listen to the full broadcast, you can go to, in a little bit when it loads up, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/golftalklive, and you can listen to this or any of the other previous broadcasts on the recorded version. I've got a great guest coming up next week talking about the Mike Austin golf swing. You might remember a few months ago when I was in San Antonio, I had Steve Pratt on talking about the Mike Austin golf swing. And shortly after, actually during that program, I was contacted by Dan Schauger, who is also a student and a very big proponent of the Mike Austin golf swing. He's going to be joining me next week, September 26th. On here on Golf Talk Live. October 3rd, I'm going to be joined by John Dunnigan. He's a PGA Master Professional and the 2012 PGA Philadelphia Section Junior Golf Leader and the 2008 PGA Philadelphia Section Teacher of the Year, as well as the Director of Coaching at the White Manor Country Club in Malvern, Pennsylvania. He's going to be joining me here on Golf Talk Live October 3rd. And as you may recall, a few weeks back, I had a group on here from Ontic Golf. And I know you've heard me say this a few times now, and I posted on my various media sites that we had some technical difficulties. But the group from Ontic Golf, the president co-founder Bernie Pinder, has rescheduled, and they are going to be coming back on the show October 24th. Bernie actually is going to start out the program, and then Dr. Greg Ortman and also Barry Goldstein, who is involved with Ontic Golf, are going to be coming on the program. Actually, Dr. Greg Ortman is going to be coming on talking about a book that he recently sent me on October 10th. He's going to be doing the show Golfology. We're going to talk a little bit about his book when he comes here on October 10th. So a lot of great guests coming up in the weeks to come. So I hope you continue to tune in and listen to Golf Talk Live. And hopefully we'll get some calls happening. The number, remember, is area code 646-716-4667. You can also email me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. Certainly appreciate it if you would follow what's going on here on Facebook. It's facebook.com/golftalkliveblog. You can also reach me at on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Tedenbach CEO. And, of course, the website, which is now up, is the Golf Talk Live blog. It's at www.golftalkliveblog.com. And as I mentioned in the program, I'm going to have a lot of my guests' information up there, so you can certainly get in touch with them if you wish, or if they've got books and CDs available, you'll be able to actually click on and go right to the site to purchase right from my site. So thank you very, very much for tuning in this evening. That's going to end our show. And I just, again, want to thank the ladies for joining me this evening. Had a great show, thoroughly enjoyed the conversation, and I look forward to having each and every one of you back on, not only as a group, but perhaps individually. Thank you very much, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. Take care.